Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome back to On Your Mental. This is the podcast that shares candid, open, and sometimes vulnerable conversations between and about men. And this week, we have a very special couple of guests. We have Andrew and Jaden Lee, both from the Banana Boys podcast. If you're local here, you might have seen them coming up on your social media, TikTok, Instagram, whatever. But they're here to come and share their experience with their podcast and talk a little bit about what it's been like growing up as a banana boy in their own terms. So we hope you all enjoy this week's episode. If you like it, leave a like. If you want to ask more questions, leave a comment. And of course, make sure you're subscribed. But we'll see you in a moment when the episode starts. Peace. So you're going to Minnesota to film for VCon. What's your background with filming stuff? Because I've noticed just on your Instagram, I kind of perused a little bit before you coming in here. First of all, wait a minute. Welcome to the Banana Boys. Jesus. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to On Your Mental. I appreciate you coming down, and I'm looking forward to when we get to hop on yours at some point.
Yes.
Which will be later this summer-ish, right? Because I think we were talking. Yeah, like, does that count? When does summer start?
I guess that is summer.
June 21st.
Technically July.
Okay, well then later this spring we'll be on the Banana Boys podcast. But I was going through your Instagrams and stuff to creep you know, because it's basically a date, getting to meet you the first time. But I was looking through, you do a bunch of video stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, what's the background with that?
It's been how long now? I don't know. Since, when did COVID start?
5 years ago.
It feels that way.
No, I started it. Okay, so I'm trying to remember the time. I took a gap year from school, and that was, I think, was that COVID year? When COVID started? 2021?
2020.
Okay, no, 2020, yeah. I was still in school, but then, so I transferred to UBC from SFU.
Sure.
Because I just didn't like SFU.
Bro, I graduated there. It's the worst school on the planet. Okay, I'll tell you right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
But when I transferred, I was like, I started getting into like video stuff, content creation. I watched a lot of Gary Vee.
Sure, yeah.
He's big content. And then also like inspired by like Casey Neistat vlogs.
Yo,
like,
you remember Casey Neistat?
Who?
No, okay, whatever. Love Casey Neistat. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Yes, I got inspired by those because I just started watching it. And I'm like, man, I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically just like, I had a... It was an argument, I guess, but a big, long conversation with my parents about taking a gap year. Eventually, they let me take a gap year.
Sure.
But in that gap year, I just sort of like went, I guess, all in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the right term.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever projects I could get, just shot videos.
That's awesome.
Whoever wants videos, I shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess it just grew from there.
Like, yeah.
One project after the other, they referred, oh, shit, you're not bad. I'm like, okay, thanks. And then you just kept going. So I guess... What's my background? That's my background.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
and now you're getting flown out for VCon.
This guy's crazy, man.
Now I'm getting flown out. The guy who's flying me out is sort of, honestly, I like attribute like where I am today because of him. He's like the main guy who sort of referred me a lot of work. If I can give his name's Lucian. Shout out to that guy.
Shout out to Lucian.
But yeah, he basically like jump started, I guess, my career.
Sure.
All right.
But, that's sick.
Yeah.
And then I was looking at yours, Jane. You don't do video stuff, but one thing that I thought was cool, and this will kind of tie into the thing I wanted to ask about, like storytelling and kind of like setting a vibe, which we'll get to later. Your like feed and just the way you kind of like curate your Instagram stuff reminds you of like Devin Booker. You know Devin Booker and Phoenix. Yeah,
they
got
eliminated just now, didn't they?
I think so.
They just got eliminated.
Yes, they did.
He's getting clowned right
RP
now.
Devin Booker.
Yeah. But they're like his Instagram page is very like, I don't know, like. You get a vibe off of it. And so I thought that was cool. And you remind me of our friend AJ. You don't know AJ, but you remind me of our friend AJ, just the way you carry yourself, at least from what I've seen online and everything. You seem like a cool guy, cool pair of dudes here. I wanted to ask, like, what is kind of like the background behind you starting your podcast with Banana Boys and what brought you two together to work on this thing? Because it's a very different, like, background then, right? You don't have a background in doing this video stuff, but you're a good conversationalist. You're on there. So what made you do it and why Banana Boys?
Go ahead and take it.
Loaded question.
Basically, what happened was I had come out of a situation and Andrew noticed like, hey, Jaden got a lot of free time now. So I think I was like maybe taking a shit or something like that.
Oh, were you?
I don't know what I was doing, to be honest. I get a notification on my phone, Andrew Lee. I'm like, all right, what's going on, right? He's like, are you down to start a podcast? And I think I just said, yeah.
I don't know, like sure down or something.
Yeah, something like that. And then that's pretty much what it was. We had done a podcast previously.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of went on for, what, month? 2 months?
Something like that.
Yeah, and then we stopped. Brief. And then, what, a year, 2 years later? 2 years later?
Yes, yeah, so we started that in COVID, so I guess yeah. 2 years later.
And it just hits me up and I'm like, damn, we just started doing it, and that's really all it's been. It has not a lot of thought behind it. It's just go, and then it's been doing pretty well so far.
Yeah, it's been cool to see you guys grow on.
We just jumped into it, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. What was the podcast before?
It's called Porpoise Punks Podcast.
Porpoise Punks. Shout out Porpoise Punks.
We call it Porpoise Punks because there's this park nearby that we always used to play basketball, Dolphin Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we just sort of played around the wording Porpoise Punks.
I think that was our group chat name back then.
And that was our group chat name.
Yeah.
Mm.
We had a group chat for basketball and it was called Porpoise Punks.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And that was just like over Zoom. And it was like the crappiest quality. Like it was so bad. If you listen, it's just so bad. And we just, I don't think we were super serious about it. We just stopped after a few episodes.
Yeah.
But then I wanted to revive it and, you know, literally just texted him. And then, yeah. And I'm surprised we're still doing it. I tell people this. I'm like, I don't know how we're still doing it.
I like it, man. It's a cool vibe.
Yeah, it seems pretty chill.
Yeah, I mean, we just try to, I guess, like, we're not doing it for the views, right?
We're just doing it.
And you shouldn't. Yeah, yeah.
Like, we're not trying to make a living off of it. Mm-hmm. We're just having fun with it. And it's just nice to talk to people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you get some cool conversations out of there.
Oh, yeah.
So why Banana Boys?
We were just going back and forth with names, like, in a text box. And, like, I texted him, like, Pineapple Express or something like that. No, I said, I thought of Pineapple Express. Yes. Texted him Pineapple Boys. Mm-hmm. Made no fucking sense. He hits me back saying Banana Boys. I'm like, you know what? That sounds pretty sick. And then...
And then we started realizing, people are like, oh, why is it called Banana Boys? Mm-hmm. Is it like some sort of like race meaning?
Yeah. That's my first assumption too. That's what I was thinking. It has something to do with that, but.
And now we're just like, yeah, it does.
Just own it.
Right? Because we are pretty whitewashed.
Well, I'm whitewashed as shit.
You're more whitewashed.
Yeah, it's, right. Oh my gosh.
So we sort of just go with it.
Right.
It feels like it was intentional, but it was unintentional.
Yeah. Just kind of happened. And then it just happened. It gave you the idea after the fact.
Exactly.
It's like Banana Boys. I gave him a thumbs up on the iMessage thing. And we just ran with it.
Looks
ever since.
It looks good. Sounds good, right? Sick. We just rolled with it.
Yeah, it's and we're gonna get into that later too. Yeah. I have like questions that I sent you beforehand about what we want to talk about, and prior to getting into some stuff about storytelling and all that, how do you like even know each other? So like you've mentioned basketball, like, what's the deal?
Yeah, well, we met each other from high school in grade 8.
Mm.
I think he was my locker partner.
Mm.
And then I guess from there we
don't
just
remember.
Kept talking.
Locker
partner.
Never used that locker in my life.
Sat next to each other in homeroom.
Yeah, pretty much, right? Honestly, did we even talk much in high school? Sort of, kind of.
We were always around each other. Like we were always in the same friend group, and we always grew up playing basketball with each other. But I quite honestly can't really remember. I don't remember much from high school, so that might be part of it. But
yeah, I mean, you also had a girlfriend.
Is that the situation, by the way?
Same situation, different. Situation.
Nah, I feel.
Okay. Yeah. Sort of. I guess just basketball a lot. Yeah.
Where'd you guys go to high school?
Palmer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Where'd you guys go to?
Burnett.
Yeah.
Burnett. Oh, Burnett?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
These guys out of here.
I was going to say, like, I was wondering if you guys would have ever played each other, but obviously not if you, like, just saw Kabir today for the first time.
I think I would remember.
In ball. Yeah. Like, I figure you would remember this guy. Yeah. Yeah. I did not play basketball at all. It doesn't matter how tall I am. There's no shot that I could have played very well. I was pretty terrible. But anyways.
Well, what year did you guys graduate?
I was
2013.
And then that was 2014.
Okay, yeah,
that's when we started grade 8.
Yeah.
No shit.
We're 2018.
What the hell?
2000. We're in 2000.
Damn, man. Yeah. Well, congrats on doing so good with what you're doing. Yeah.
Nothing.
Man. Anyway, so with your podcast with Banana Boys, one thing that I've kind of picked up on, and I don't know if it's intentional or not. I mean, hearing you say that, like, even the name is kind of an accident at this point, at least the meaning behind it. I love that. And that points to, I guess, like how chill the vibe is, right? I think that's really important when it comes to, I don't know, creating content. You want something consistent across all the episodes that you're making, right? And I think one thing that you can try to do is create like the same feeling, like the same space there. And so that's what I've gotten from watching your stuff so far. But the thing that I've noticed is like a real emphasis on storytelling. Each guest that you have on has this ridiculous story. The last one that you have out right now with this guy, Ali, getting, what was he, 13 years old, getting robbed in Cairo? What the hell? Where do you find these people? And like what makes you care so much about storytelling? Like, what makes that so valuable to your platform?
Where'd you find him, doing? First of all?
First of all.
I know. I met him.
They're the ones who robbed him.
Yeah. We robbed him. Yeah. From school, from UBC.
Yeah.
A lot of the recent guests, actually a lot of guests have been, so I'm in this club called UBCCA. It's like this cancer association charity club. Mm. And a lot of them are just from there. Like, he literally just messaged me. He's like, yo, I got crazy stories. Can't come on.
That's sick. It.
And I'm like, yeah, like, let's go on.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, you said something about storytelling, like why we value it so much.
Why is that the avenue you went with this thing?
I don't think like the common thing here, it wasn't intentional. It was just sort of like, I really enjoy, first of all, talking to people, and if they have cool stories, I'd love to hear about it. Like that's why you've noticed I clip out or like find guests with these crazy stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting to hear, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like, oh, Banana Boys is going to be about crazy stories. No. It's
right.
Just like, you're cool. You're interesting. I want to talk to you. And you just so happen to have an interesting story.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, what do you think?
I ain't going to lie. Hearing your voice after listening to the podcast entire day, like a third person experience.
Like sitting here.
Remember what Alicia was saying? She's like, it's so weird hearing you guys in person. Same thing here. Like, I'm hearing your voice. I'm like, wow, I've been listening to this guy all day, Loki. Yeah, like in real life, he's right in front of me. He's kind of tripping out.
Yeah, no, I'm yeah, it's weird because I've just seen you guys on the screen.
Yeah, yeah. We're all real people. Yeah,
I know. It's just weird.
With storytelling wise, I just always gravitate towards stories. Like, for everyone I met throughout life, like, either it's like people I meet at work or just co-workers and stuff like that. I just like hearing people's stories because you learn from them.
Mm. What do you do for work, by the way?
Accounting. Quick.
Accounting, cool.
Yeah, which is weird because I suck at math. But, yeah, I just like people tell stories and like, or they'll tell me lessons and stuff like that. And like, it just made a big impact on me. And I just like hearing stories from other people, especially people that Andrew brings on. They're really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So like, hearing the stories about them and like, especially the Cairo stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Cairo robbery is like, holy fuck. Like, it just makes your mind go to like, not just what you see in front of you, is like the entire world and all this other shit.
Broadens your perspective a little bit, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Just something about it. Like, I want to make... in the future, I keep clearing my throat.
It's all right. COVID.
No, I just got my rapid tested. I'm good. Thank you. But something I want to do in the future is like making like a travel documentary filmmaker.
Mm.
And I don't know, there's just something about like sharing stories that I really want to do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking like, oh, go to like, I don't know, Egypt, because we were just talking about Cairo, and sharing like an interesting story there. Like, that's something I want to do. I don't know why. I think it's just interesting to me. So then I guess with this podcast, I'm doing it on like a smaller scale, sort of, where I'm not filming something, but I'm still sharing their story.
Yeah.
And I guess
It's a bit more intimate on a podcast too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You get a bit more fleshed out with whatever story you are sharing. But that's the thing that the reason why I wanted to ask that question about storytelling on the like vein of mental health, which is like a bit of what we get into here sometimes, not necessarily always on the nose. Like, here we're talking about mental health today. But sharing your story, right? That is, I think, part of what we try to do here with being open with everybody, right? Like, sharing your own perspective, sharing your own thoughts on things. So I think it's cool that you're like creating this platform and creating this space where people are able to come and just talk about what their life has been like, right? And without having platforms like that, you don't get to hear stuff like Ali's story, you know? But anyway, since I mentioned it, being on our podcast, we talk about mental health stuff sometimes. Yes. So we're going to get into some mental health stuff today. And you said something earlier, and that might tie into this question a little bit. So what I'll ask is, in your life, hearing your own story is what I want to do today, right? You guys share stories from other people on your own platform, but on ours, we want to hear yours. With mental health and like vulnerability, opening up, being open with people, have you had like a positive experience in your life with peers, with family, around that kind of thing? And the thing that you said earlier, Andrew, that I wanted to bring up at this point was when you said you were going to take a gap year, it was a bit of a conversation you said. It took some convincing for you to be able to even do something like that, which was right for your mental health in my eyes, right? And that's just my perspective, right? You wanted to do something that you felt was right for you, but it took a conversation with family to be able to feel comfortable doing that, right? So for both of you, Andrew and Jaden, how has that been in your life? Being open, being vulnerable, family, peers, all that kind of stuff. For us, it's to claim my place here amongst our friend group. I've always said I'm one of the more open people.
Definitely. To almost a weird extent at
first. What does that mean?
Like, you're just like, our group was like, at first, so like, I don't know. No one knew about mental health.
Standard really, right? guy shit.
Sure.
Yeah. And okay. he would just be like the weird guy who just says whatever is on his mind. He's very like emotional when we don't expect him to be.
Oh, stuff. Really?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And now he's just
made a podcast about guy. It.
Yeah. Yeah. Made a podcast about it.
Listen to my problems. Yeah. But yeah, I would always be the guy who, like, when we're hanging out and everything, if we're talking about whatever's going on in our lives, I'd be the one sharing anything I'm worried about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which,
like, classic overthinker, but like everything's just coming out. Yeah, though.
Yeah. But I found it really valuable because it got things off my chest,
mm-hmm.
right? By me having whatever upbringing I've had, right? And this could be something that I could talk about when we come on your podcast too. I'm a single child, single mom, right? And so for me, it's just been a one-to-one relationship growing up, and she's encouraged me to be the way that I am, right? And I think I've just seen like openness and vulnerability through her. And that's how I've always been. That's how I've always been with us and our friends, right? And so that kind of seeped out there. So for me, I've kind of forced my friends in a way to be exposed to this, and that's made them more open over time too, I think.
Definitely.
Right, yeah. From what I've seen at least. But yeah, anyways, back to you two. I'm done enough talking there. But how's that been for you guys? Mental health, vulnerability.
I ain't gonna lie. Like, I've always been the person that people like I'll be there for everyone, right? Like, if you have some issues, I'll be there for you. If you need help with something, I'm there for you, right? But I've never like opened up to anyone, period. Like family, friends, all this shit, like not all. I'm always, you like that too?
Back in the day, man.
it's super easy to be there for people, yeah. For sure.
Like, I just closed everything off. Like, there's a bunch of shit that like I've known Andrew since like 2013, right? There's a lot of shit he just doesn't know about me because I just won't tell people about anything vulnerable, really. I think it's maybe upbringing, I don't know. But I've just never been vulnerable like that. But that's pretty much mine, like family-wise, friend-wise. I've just never opened up, but everyone opens up to me and I'm always there for them.
Mm-hmm. That can be like maybe a difficult position to be in sometimes. Not difficult, but like there's sometimes like pressure around that. You know what I mean? Like if you're the one that people always come to, but you don't have an avenue yourself to kind of share back, right? Has that ever felt like a bit of a burden?
I feel like shit, but I mean, I'm living, I'm good, so.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually I will. Like, I am trying to fix it, but it is definitely something hard. Like, what, I'm 21, turning 22 soon. X amount of years of my life, like, purposely closing off. Now I'm trying to open up. Like, it's going to take a while, but...
That's a good time to start, though, man. Yeah. We actually, it's not out yet, but the episode that's going to be out before yours here, we had a guest on, Steven, who just turned 30, and his whole 20s, he just spent ignoring his mental health, right? And that's had some ramifications on how his relationships with friends and partners has gone, right? And so it's good that you're like, I don't know, like seeing that there's opportunity there at 21,
right? Yeah, just being aware of it, like, is the first step, and that's fucking huge at 21 too.
When I was 21, I didn't give a shit about mental health. It wasn't a thought.
Yeah,
right? that was when it started to become a thing, because that's 5 years ago, right? So that put us at 2017, 2016 is where I started to like really kind of like even think about it. All right, so 21 is a good time to start.
I've always been aware of it. It's just like, actively thinking like, okay, maybe now it's time to do something about it. It's like, that was the push that I've been trying to make recently.
Now it's time to improve it.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, it gives you a good foundation, right? People always talk about it nowadays too, and like it comes up more and more in conversation online and whatever. Just the value of having a good foundation of yourself, right, before you can support other people as best as you can, right? Anyways, it can be a bit tough in a position like that sometimes, but I'm glad that you're finding like some place to kind of direct your stuff to as well. Andrew, how about you, man?
Honestly, probably like Jaden. Okay, so I feel like I'm open book and transparent because I feel like I don't have much to, I guess, like share about openly, but maybe I'm not aware. Maybe there is. So we were talking about the other day with like our guest. He has like a therapist, and he's like, The guest said, even if you feel like you're okay, you should get a therapist just because it might like uncover something. And it's always good to like talk to people. And I've considered it too, like Jaden too, just get talking to a therapist, just see like what's there, I guess. But I don't know, like I feel like I'm pretty good, like mentally. At least I hope so.
Yeah.
And it's like when I want to share something, I will, but then there's not often times where I feel like I need to, I guess. But maybe just like I said, it's because I don't know, right? But then to answer your question, you mentioned about like when I was having that conversation with my parents about like going to school. I guess
doing the right thing for you, yeah.
Yeah, right. I guess in that sense, I think maybe I usually just won't say anything, but with that, I felt so strongly about it. Like I had to, like, this is like, I guess like career choices, right? It's going to impact my life. And I felt really strongly about it. It's like, I got to take this gap year, mom, or like not go to school. I actually didn't want to go to school. Mm. I really wanted to like switch, like just like not drop out. I don't know. It was all over the place. Mm-hmm. But then eventually I was like, okay, gap year. And then I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. Was it hard to do that? Yeah. Mm. Like it was, I think, I don't want to say a fight, but like I said, a big argument. Because it was like just two opposing views. Yeah. And at that time, I don't think I was very empathetic. Because like I didn't see where they were coming from. I'm just like, I gotta do this. School is stupid, you know, right? I want to do this, and you know, all those like financial gurus are like, don't go to school. Right? I got influenced by that.
Too much Gary Vee, man.
Right? Too much Gary Vee.
Don't do it. Drop out of college,
drop
dude.
Out of college, F your parents. Yeah. Right. I'm much better now. I think I'm more aware and empathetic, and I'm in psych. So I think taking psych makes you empathetic, just because you're forced to think about other people.
Yeah.
So. I think I'm a lot better now, but back then it was just like, it was a struggle.
Mm-hmm. I can empathize a little bit with where you're at. I took not a full gap year, but I took a couple semesters like off, at least from what I was usually doing when I had first moved out in 2017. And that only lasted for a bit because like I got like fucked financially. I thought I could move out on part-time wages and that'd be okay. I was living with my current roommate and another roommate.
Yeah.
And I hit this like wall after about my second, third-ish year in university where it was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like there's got to be something like more to life than sitting there going to school. And so I had a conversation with my mom and her background. This is to your point about like seeing their perspective.
Yeah.
She's really heavy on education. She has her master's degree. I've always wanted to like follow in her footsteps. Mm. You know what I mean? And kind of like do your parents proud.
Exactly.
But yeah, did you feel that way at all? Like, was that kind of like the perspective that you've seen since?
Yeah. So I think growing up, it was like, you can be two jobs. You get doctor or lawyer, right? And I think...
Asian parents.
Right. Like, it wasn't that they didn't let me try to do like... other stuff, like creative stuff. Like I took drawing lessons, I took piano lessons, well, obviously, right? But it was always that, like, the only job you can get is being a doctor or a lawyer. And I think, I don't want to say it hindered me. I'm not complaining, right?
Yeah.
It's totally okay. But I think, because I think going into school, that was the only thing I thought about. It's like, okay, get into sciences. This is one thing that my teacher said too, that kind of like thinking back, it's like kind of made me angry. He was like, I think my grades sort of dropped because I started caring not as much in like senior year.
Sure.
And I remember he looked at my report card. He's like, Andrew, like almost disappointed. And I'm
really?
Like, yeah. He's like, why are your grades like this? You used to be a top student, which I guess was.
Yeah.
I tried
yeah.
pretty hard in like grade 10. He's like, well, what happened? What are you going to do in university, right? What do you see yourself doing? Like sciences, obviously, right? And that's sort of like ingrained in my head. I'm like,
right. Oh. Like even your teacher was putting that on you.
Right. I'm like, yeah. Oh yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah. Sciences. I don't know what else I do. Mm-hmm. And I think that was like a struggle that I grew up believing to be true. Not struggle, like the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sort of broke through that in that second year and then had that discussion with my parents.
Yeah. It can be a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And like growing up here in Richmond, obviously, like, there's a really high Asian population here, right? And disclaimer, I'm a fucking white guy, right? So, like, I know that I'm not, like, I find it sometimes difficult to have conversations around stuff like this because I don't know where my place sits, right? And there's a weird balance of, can I talk about it because I'm curious versus am I not allowed to talk about it because it's not my thing to say? So I'm more just curious about that kind of experience. And this is why I've aimed these questions a little bit around Banana Boys, right? Like you talked about that kind of being suggested to you with the name of your podcast, but that experience is unique, right? It's different. Not everybody like sees life this way, where you're kind of balancing this expectation from a previous generation of parents versus what your current expectations are and what you're exposed to in Vancouver. Right, like growing up here in Vancouver, Richmond, you'll see shit like content creation being an avenue, right? Like that's something that's appropriate to pursue, right? Yeah. Doing video stuff can be a real career. You don't have to be a doctor or a lawyer, right? So I just find that like interesting that so many people, it seems, have had that kind of pressure. And that can, in my opinion, affect mental health. Does that make sense? Like, have you felt that way at all?
for sure.
Yeah, even yourself, Cabs.
Yeah, because my parents are first generation here. So I definitely felt that pressure after high school where I was like expected to know exactly what I want to do, like jumping straight out of high school, find the right avenue and follow that path.
Mm. But like not wasting time.
Yeah, not wasting time, being productive essentially. But right after high school, I didn't know, had no idea what I wanted mm-hmm. to do. And then instead of having that conversation with my dad, I just kind of procrastinated in applying for mm-hmm. schools. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, why haven't you like applied and shit? And then it kind of just ended up being a gap year mm-hmm. in that way. Mm-hmm. So I was just too pussy to have that conversation.
So you just didn't go to school after you graduated?
Yeah. Yeah, mm. for like a year. Mm. Yeah.
And your dad was just like, what the hell? What are you doing?
Yeah, he was pissed at first. And he's like, oh, as long as you're going to start working or something. Okay. And I just started working. And
the funny thing is, at least to me, again, disclaimer, white guy. the funny thing is to me is like, there might be some pushback from parents. And y'all all can correct me if I'm wrong. And like, this is how I'm seeing it. There might be some pushback from parents. But at the end of the day, if you do the thing that you want to do, you're still going to do it. You know, and like they can be upset, but eventually it seems like a lot of them come around. Did your parents come around, Andrew, to the idea of you taking that gap year? Have they brought it up since? You know what I mean? Like, has it been a problem? Are they disappointed by it? Are they confused by it?
No, they're great. Okay, no, cool. They're fine. Sick. They've come around.
See, this is the thing.
Right? They're happy that you know, and they can tell that this is what I want to do, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, they still want me to get the degree. That's why I'm back in school now. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of like a me in the middle.
Yeah.
But she sees that I'm very happy doing this, and you know, if I'm happy, she's happy. Sure. Right? That's what I think.
You both go to UBC?
No, I've never went to post-secondary.
Oh, cool. Hey. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Straight into accounting?
Yeah, pretty much.
How did that happen?
Well, basically background is my mom came here from Hong Kong when she was six, grew up in Richmond. Dad was basically born and raised in East Vancouver. Grandparents came here. So basically like my parents both were born and raised pretty much in Vancouver.
Right.
And they didn't really do well in school either. They dropped out of Langara. They actually met in Langara, but they dropped out a year later because neither of their grades didn't do well. And they've never really gone back since. My dad did some real estate stuff, real estate courses, but other than that, he's never really went back to school. So when I graduated high school, I was kind of just applying to shit because everyone was applying, right? Hmm. But then they're like, you know, if you don't want to go to school, you can take a gap year and just work. Like they don't mind you working as long as you're doing something productive. And that one gap year turned into just never going back. And the accounting thing was because my dad works in the same company that I work in right now, in a different department. At the time, they're looking for an entry-level position. And my dad was like, you know, you're pretty smart. You can just do this. You know, I can get you in there. So got an interview, got in there, and I've been there since, and I moved up, and it's been all right. But yeah, I've never done post-secondary.
Yeah.
He calls it his four gap years.
Yeah. He doesn't like that, but I mean,
it's not a gap year. Like, come on.
I just never was. I'm going to keep calling it a gap year. I don't care, man. 10 years later, 10th gap year, I don't fucking
fuck it, care, man. You never know. You might
gap,
go back.
Gap decade.
Gap decade. Gap life.
Gap life.
Man. Not to put you on the spot, Jin, but you had mentioned earlier when we were talking about kind of like openness and like maybe it was something that you've learned just from your upbringing.
Okay.
Since we're talking about that concept of the banana boy, you know, how's it been for you? Like, have you felt in your upbringing that there was any kind of like resistance to you being able to be open about what's going on?
I think the resistance was really just like, I think part of it was just like being a dude, right? Like I'm always like, I was a super skinny kid when growing up, right? So I was always the smallest kid, not the smallest like physically in the height, but I was always the skinniest kid by far up until like grade 10, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, because of that, like I was always like, kind of like, if you fuck with me, I'm gonna fuck you up. Kind of thing. Cause it's like being the skinniest kid, like I have to prove a point. So I'd be putting kids in headlocks and shit in the locker room.
Really?
With grade, I'd be putting like random kids in headlocks and shit, I'd be wrestling like Ray and shit.
Wow.
But like, yeah, so it was that. And also the fact that like my dad was always working a bunch. So I never really got to like be open with him. It was never really room for that. It was just like, yo, be a fucking man, like do your shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Me and my mom were always super close, but my mom like had some shit going on, so like I don't have that relationship anymore,
right?
So like everything kind of just got closed off over time. So that's pretty much what happened. So it's been an issue like my entire life pretty much, but at this point it's like, okay, I know what the issues are, I know the signs of them, I know what the worst case scenario could be. Let me just figure this out myself. And it's been all right, but I definitely should seek like external help eventually.
Hey, take your time with whatever, right? Mm-hmm. What you say you can see what the worst case scenario would be. What would that be for you?
Kill myself.
Yeah. Hey, I mean,
that's the worst case scenario, but I mean, yeah. Fuck it.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
No, man. Fuck it, man.
Well, not like that. But it's like, I understand what the worst case scenario is. So like, I understand, like, you know, as long as you don't do that, you can still find a way out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Understand which direction not to head in.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fair, man. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. I didn't want to like pry too much anything like that, but I've talked about it before on the podcast. I know how lucky I am to have had the upbringing that I've had, where it's just been be open, right? Tell me what's going on, right? Like, that's always a question that I had coming home, right? And it's interesting that you mentioned that you had this relationship with your dad, where because he's working, you weren't able to be that open with him all the time, or at least there wasn't like the opportunity there. Growing up without a dad, it's like I didn't have an opportunity to talk to a dad either, but there's still someone else there. Right. So if one side is failing, when you have two parents, you can sometimes go to the other, but unfortunately didn't have that opportunity either. Right. Yeah. Anyways, another question that I wanted to ask about Banana Boy is just to kind of like dive into that a little bit here. And you've talked about being whitewashed earlier on. You both said both fairly whitewashed. What does that mean to you, first of all, being whitewashed? We'll get into that first, but I'll ask the actual question after.
What does that mean? I feel like I use that term so loosely.
People throw around other things too here, right? CBC, right? You ever hear that one? What is that? Canadian-born Chinese? Yeah. Is that what that is?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I guess whitewash is like, obviously you look yellow on the outside, like, right? And on the inside, you're sort of, everything's like westernized. You know, you don't speak Chinese or Cantonese or whatever. Nothing you do is like related to that culture, your culture. And I guess that's what whitewash is. Honestly, I don't, like, I call myself whitewash, but like, am I really whitewash? Maybe a little. Like, I speak Chinese at home with my mom and dad. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
Fuck, man. Because like, look, my parents have been here for so long, right? So like,
yeah, that makes
sense. I grew up speaking English pretty much. And like, my grandparents were always around when I was a kid, and I knew Cantonese for a little bit. But once I went to school, I lost it all. And I got sent to ESL because I talked about dim sum once, which is some other conversation.
No fucking way. I remember you saying that on the podcast. You did say that. The racist teachers.
But like, anyways, like, yeah. So like, it's kind of like a struggle because like, on one hand, it's like, my house doesn't have Asian culture in it unless my grandparents show up, which is only like a little sprinkler, right? And it's like, I feel like I just fucked up because it's like, why can't I speak Chinese? I don't have access to half the city now because I can't order food at like Lido Cafe. I can't go there. Number 9, I have some issues there going there. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, some restaurants I can't order because I speak English and stuff. And like, I always get that look of disappointment. They'll talk to me in Cantonese or Mandarin and stuff, and I'll be like, I don't know what you're saying. And they're just like, fuck.
Yeah, you see it on their face, right?
Like, it's like, it's not my fault. Like, I just didn't grow up in that household. And it's like, I want to regain the culture. But at the same time, it's like, what can I really do?
There's still time to learn, right?
Well, yeah, definitely. But your brain only for so long.
Right? And that's a huge ask. To learn another culture at this point in your life, right?
It's a culture that I technically lost. Touch. Like, I've lost it technically. So it's like, I'm just kind of stuck in limbo.
I mean, you made a joke about it in your episode on the podcast. The teacher was trying to get in touch with the roots with thing you're saying. But yeah, it's an interesting place to be in. So thank you for saying what you think about like what whitewashed is. But this term banana, right? Like being yellow on the outside, white on the inside. First of all, apologies for using colors. I mean, that's not a thing, but anyways.
So sorry.
How have you felt your life has been where you're balancing two cultures, right? I can't imagine doing that. Again, coming from, disclaimer, white guy, right? I don't think about balancing cultures. I did 23andMe once and I saw like 99.7% European. Who gives a shit, man? Like, to me, they're all the same thing, right? But when you have this experience where your parents and previous generations, and I'm sure, Kabir, you have some thoughts on this too, but your parents have their own idea of what your culture is. And they are doing their best to bring you into this culture here. But you still run into situations like that, Jaden, where you're staring, where you have an expectation from other people that look at you a certain way and expect you to be a certain way. And you're not. So what's that been like for all of you? What's that been like, that balance between two different cultures?
That's a good question. You say you weren't thinking, you don't think about it. I don't think about it either.
Interesting. Cool.
It's just, I guess like, the only time where I've noticed it is back to that school sort of question is, you know, different cultures has like different mindsets, and that was the only thing that I could cause like a big rift between my parents, was sort of that different type of thinking. I think that was the only time I noticed, is because they're like very traditional, like I said, you know, go to school, do this, mm-hmm. where I was like, nah, I don't want to go to school, I want to do other stuff outside of school. So I think that was like the only real struggle with like balancing cultures, like you said. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, either I don't think so, or I don't notice it, because I don't think I pay too much attention to it. I speak Chinese, so I can order at restaurants.
You can go to number 9.
I can go to number 9. Right?
This guy with me.
I'm good. We're good. Maybe when it's Cantonese, a cat. I don't speak Cantonese.
Number 9 is Cantonese, right? Mainly there because it's a isn't it a Hong Kong restaurant?
Yes. Is
yeah.
It? Yes.
I'm 90% sure.
Yeah.
But you're asking the wrong guy, man.
Yeah, but no. But yeah, no. Outside of that, I don't think I've noticed it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like language is like a big thing, though.
Yeah.
Because you know the language.
Exactly.
So, like for me, I can understand a little bit of Punjabi.
Okay.
But like as soon as there's like, let's say if I was living in Surrey, I wouldn't know what the fuck, like. Like anytime, like at work, if like there's an Indian person that comes up, they don't speak any English and they're looking at me and like they start speaking Punjabi, I feel instantly embarrassed.
Embarrassed?
Yeah. And that doesn't happen all the time. But yeah, when it does, I feel like it's embarrassment almost, maybe a little bit of guilt for not putting much effort into trying to learn the language. But like most of the time, I'm like, fuck that, I'd rather learn like Spanish or Japanese or something.
Something else is cooler.
Yeah.
That's cooler. That's actually a good point that you bring it up. But sort of mine's like the opposite. So before I used to work at Sport Trick and retail, people would always be like, Andrew, can you go translate?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And sometimes I don't want to translate. Sometimes it's so annoying. But I'll still do it. But I feel like, I guess, yeah, just to bring that up, that's like another sort of balancing that culture. Like I'm always seen as, oh, the guy who can speak Mandarin. And I'm like, sometimes I don't want to translate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's when they ask for directions? Like I'll have an older Asian lady come to me. She's like, oh, where's this? Like in Mandarin. Like I know what she's saying, but I can't say it back. I'm just like, I'll just start pointing. I'm going to say it in English and hope that she's the reverse of me, where she knows English but can't speak it.
Yeah,
that's like the worst thing. You just have a helpless older Asian lady just like asking for directions, and like she's just like, is this the right place? And it's like, yes, no. Give them the thumbs. I don't fucking know. Like it's just, yeah.
Yeah. Again, from my perspective, looking in on this kind of thing, it to me, it's almost challenging to balance that kind of stuff, right? You're growing up on your own. You're finding your own way. You're creating your own identity, right? And a part of that is like your heritage, your history, you know? And again, I've said this too many times now, disclaimer, white guy, I don't have heritage. I don't have history to like balance.
Well, you do. It just doesn't matter here.
It doesn't matter here, right? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter here in a country where English is the native language. You know what I mean? Like people look at me as the white guy who lives here, you know, like it is what it is. I don't have any like prejudgment on me. But yeah, Cabs, you said embarrassed, right? And like, Jin, you mentioned a little bit, you didn't say embarrassment, but you had like a feeling around what it is when someone who is speaking to you in Cantonese and you can't speak back.
Yeah, it's almost like a disappointment.
Like a disappointment, yeah. Why do you think like that is kind of, like that's similar, right? That's a similar response to that. Like, why do you think you feel that way?
A lot of the time when I've had that experience, it's been like older people. And then I feel like there's almost like a level of respect that you should be able to speak back to them. And then you don't see disappointment on their face, but it's like, it's almost surprise on their face. And yeah, just like you feel like you should know the language, and it is a little disappointing.
Yeah, it's like, bro, like it's a very like, I guess, blunt way of saying it. It's like, bro, my grandparents didn't escape Chinese communism, and my grandfather didn't run from Japanese warplanes just for me to come here and not be able to speak Chinese. It's like, you did all that for me to just get boiled into this melting pot where I just lose the culture. And it's like, now it's like, not only will my kids not possibly know Chinese, it's like the whole culture is now cut from the rest of the family. And it's like, now it's like, now what? We moved here and now we just lost all the culture.
Right.
That reminds me, I think I do notice it when I'm talking to my parents, because although I do speak Mandarin, it's kind of broken. And I find it very hard. Like, I can't, maybe that's part of the reason why I don't open up, just because I can't find the right words to express myself in a deeper way. I find like, and then I know this sounds like an excuse, and I really, that, and I guess I feel disappointment almost, like I should learn the language better, I should get better at it, but I just feel like I can't express myself properly. It's like surface level language. I can only talk about like my day, like, you know, briefly, but it's like once you get deeper, it's like the words I can't find properly to use. So I guess that's where I notice it, and I feel bad. It's like, I do sometimes want to share, talk to my mom or my dad about stuff, but then it's like I can't find the words. Yeah. And again, to me, it sounds like an excuse, but I should.
It's not an excuse. It's a reasonable like attribute or contributing factor to.
But
that
then it's like,
right?
Oh, if you're feeling that way, then go freaking learn Chinese. Yeah. It's not plenty, right? That's like my
put it back on you, right?
Exactly, right?
Yeah, Jaden, I think you bring up a really important thing. Your parents have worked so hard, and in your case, you're talking about grandparents and your parents as well, have worked so hard to be able to give you a life here.
Yeah.
And it's almost like when you lose touch with that culture, it feels like you're not paying the respect. Does that make sense? Yeah. Does that like ring true at all to you? And I'm sure it's something that a lot of people feel when they're children of first generation immigrants, right? Kabir, you're talking about that with your parents, first generation immigrants here. And that's tough.
Yeah,
that's tough. It's a constantly. Does it ever just creep back in? Like that thought comes back up.
Because my dad's side grandparents, they don't really speak English. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how do I talk to them? Really? Mm. Like, man. I can talk. They speak broken English, and I can kind of talk to them and stuff like that. But like, I can't really. I've never been able to have a full on conversation with them because they just don't know English that well. Mm-hmm. It's like I can't. And they speak a dialect too. They don't speak Mandarin Cantonese. They speak a very specific dialect. So even if I knew Cantonese Mandarin, it's still an additional like accent that you'd put on top of it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't really have a form of communication with them.
Mm-hmm. And that cuts you off generationally.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I've never thought of that, man.
There's even crazier thing I just thought of. Well, it's kind of sad. In that sense, I never even really knew my grandparents. So like, I didn't know who they were. Like, I never really, like, because my grandparents on my dad's side, they pretty much spoke no English. And I didn't speak any Punjabi. So I've never had like a, more than like a, how was your day? Type conversation with my grandparents like ever. So in that sense, I never knew my grandparents on my dad's side.
That's like me and my great grandmas. I didn't really, because I was so young, so I couldn't really speak to them like that. And then they passed away. And it's like, well, now it's like, fuck, what if I, well, the same thing happens to my grandparents. And I was like, what if I don't, like, what if it keeps happening and shit, right?
The fact that you're saying that, Cabs, and Jaden as well, like that's a similar experience. I've never even thought about that until hearing you talk about it like this, that you can be cut off from your own family unwillingly. You know, like that's a thing that's, in my opinion, it's out of your control. I don't think that like you learning Punjabi would have had to do if your parents had been speaking Punjabi to you growing up.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Same goes for you. If your parents have been speaking Cantonese to you growing up, like then that's the language you would have learned. And then you would actually go into ESL when the racist teachers get it right this time. Yeah, you would deserve
like
to be there.
Bullshit, yeah.
Man, funny like thing really quick. Our friends, Sebastian and Troy, they've been on the podcast before. They both came here from Mexico. Troy came, I think, before Sebastian did. And then Sebastian came and he got thrown into ESL for no reason. The guy spoke English just fine. But they assumed, like, this guy's from Mexico. He can't speak English. So they put him in ESL. He wasn't even allowed to join band in, like, grades. You know, grade 7, you do band here, right? Everybody has to do it. It was either you chose that or you did ESL. So I think he had to do ESL.
Why were those the only two choices?
They ran at the same time. I think that's all. So they took him out of the class. I thought that was funny, but although I spoke the same language as my grandma, my grandfather was passed away before I was ever born, so I never knew my grandfather, and me having just my mom as my one parent, I've only had the one side, right? I don't know the father's side at all. I don't know anything there. Even though I spoke the same language, she was much older. By the time I like have memories of like speaking to my grandma, that's when she must have been coming up on 90. You know, she passed away at, I think, 92 or 93, maybe 91. Sorry, Mom. My mom would know. But she passed away at a pretty old age. But I don't remember many conversations. I don't know stories of her life. And so I'm also only going to hear stories passed down. But I had that opportunity, you know. I would feel bad if I didn't even have the chance, which is what it sounds like in your cases. Mm-hmm. You know, it is sad.
Yeah.
It's sad in a way. Right. But I think that to come back to Banana Boys, right? The podcast, right? And it's cool that you're owning that kind of aspect of this whitewash, as you say, approach to things. And this is not suggestion, but I think it's just really cool that you're bringing that perspective into your conversations. And it'd be cool to hear more stories if you ever get people on that are going to talk about stuff like that, like growing up here as someone who is maybe feeling like they're in the same shoes as you. I think it'd be cool to hear stories like that. And I think so many people here would relate to it. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
That's a good point. Yeah. We should, because ours is so random and there's no structure to it. We don't really have like questions.
People come and say, "Hey, I got stories."
Literally.
Right? Sounds nice, huh?
Yeah, it does sound nice.
It's just like, come here, Mike's yours, you talk whatever you want.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I appreciate you sharing things. I appreciate you opening up about all this kind of stuff. Again, for us on this podcast, just having a chance to be open and talk about things, I think it's cool that we get to have this be our platform where you get to just like bring these things up and even begin to think about them more directly rather than having them kind of come up on their own in your head, right? For yourselves with Banana Boys running the podcast, what's next for you at this point? What do you want to keep doing? You mentioned taking a break, I think, before we started filming, just briefly, but that's because you're going away.
Exactly.
Right? What's next? What do you want to do with Banana Boys? What do you want to see come out of this? This wasn't a planned question, sort of.
No. We always get asked that. We just want to keep going. Mm-hmm. And you know, like we mentioned, maybe have our own studio.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe have a team, have an editor, so I don't have to edit everything. Mm-hmm. You'd understand the pain of editing,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
But
fuck you, Cap. He's offered to learn to do things, by the way.
Oh, really? I don't think I have, no.
No? I was trying to throw you a bone, man.
Yeah. Real.
Do you want to learn, Jaden?
I don't even have the time, bro.
Yeah. Where do we see this going? I don't know.
The whole city on.
You want the whole city on?
Not, I don't have once, but like I want the whole city, like different people, like people that we know and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like I want to have like Mika on or like Alex or some people like that.
Exactly. I don't know. I think we just want to, like Jaden said, just get as many people on that.
More perspective.
Yeah.
Exactly. And because at the end of the day, we're just trying to have conversations that are interesting and cool. And just because I mentioned this so many times, like when do you talk? Maybe it's different for you guys, but when do you have a chance to like talk to someone for like 2-3 hours?
Yeah, in length.
Exactly.
Hear their stories.
Yeah. Right. So like a podcast is like a good excuse to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I want Drake interview. I'm gonna get Drake on.
Yeah, yo. Fuck yeah.
Call it.
Set some big goals. There you go.
Drake's gonna be on the Banana Boys. And the Iron
Man. Fuck, man. We wanted to get one day one of our dream guests is Kid Cudi.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
shoot.
That'd be sick one day. I want Seth Rogen on here one day, too, just because he's local.
Ryan Reynolds.
Get that guy in here. Ryan Reynolds. Yes. Oh, man. That'd be sick. All these things would be cool. I love that you said, actually, that you want to get the whole city on. I'll end off with this here, right? Like, Vancouver and Richmond, like, Vancouver tries to pride itself on being multicultural, right? And we are, for the most part, right? You look around, you see a lot of different faces. We see sometimes like division in my eyes, like they're not as necessarily connected. You don't see a lot of like cultures mixing all the time. There's just a lot of different cultures here, right? We have different like boroughs, if you will, little subsets of populations like Richmond, where we've grown up in, right? We've mentioned earlier, there's a pretty high Asian population here. You joked about going down to Surrey, you wouldn't understand everything because there's a pretty high Indian population there. With a podcast like Banana Boys, I think it's really cool what you're doing as far as sharing stories and getting these different perspectives there. I think that that's an interesting avenue to take, getting the whole city on. I think that's cool and like kind of represent what we have going on in Vancouver, because there's not a lot of podcasts that run out of here. We were talking about that before we started filming, like who are the podcasts here? It's us, right? Like I don't know other people going on. We can pretend that it's just us here, right? Like, fuck them.
If you're
fuck
out there, reach out.
Yeah, yeah, right? Like collaborate with us, for God's sake.
Stop hiding.
Yeah, for God's sake, man. Anyways, I appreciate you guys coming in. Is there anything that you wanted to add before we like kind of wrap up there?
What to add? I think we just flip it back on to you. You guys keep doing your thing, right? And you know, there's not a lot of mental health podcasts. Well, at least not in Vancouver. There's not a lot of podcasts in Vancouver, right? And I think what you guys are doing is super important, just talking about mental health, right? Which I think we should
do more of.
Yeah, we probably should.
Hey, we know. That's the takeaway we want. Whenever people come on here, you want to think about this stuff some more sometimes. That's dope. I appreciate you guys being here. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day. You've been up since 4, Jaden. Y'all can go sleep. Man. You got to do what you got to do, man. And everybody listening and watching, I hope y'all enjoyed this week's episode. If you have any thoughts, comments, or stuff you want to share, do it. And make sure you're subscribed. Like this episode if you liked it. And we'll see you next week with another one. Peace.
See ya.